CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. You made it to Friday, which is excellent news. You deserve a pat in the back just for that. Let's get our day off to a good start, shall we? Lots of things to get to this morning. It's a jam-packed show, which I'm delighted. Later on, someone we haven't met before, who I'm keen to introduce to you. Ben will be joining us in a little while too, which is always good. And we want to hear from you in the comments section or on the emails. You can get hold of us on contact@cliffcentral.com. About this morning. What do we begin with? First of all, it rained last night, which I know in Cape Town, rain in winter is normal, but in Joburg, it isn't. I woke up this morning and I thought, it's very strange. I don't remember spraying everything down last night with the hose pipe, but I hadn't, obviously. It was all wet. And we had something of a little deluge last night. So, you know what? Yeah, in the middle of winter, bit of this. It still doesn't vindicate Al Gore, who turns out to be, along with, you know, Copernicus and at least three popes, the worst liar in the history of the world. I mean, according to Al Gore, weren't we all meant to be underwater by now? Like, basically, everywhere that was near the sea would already be submerged, and anything 10 kilometers inland would be under severe threat of being submerged since Al Gore's publishing of An Inconvenient Truth. A book which I have here somewhere. I should really put it into the bullshit section, shouldn't I? And I'm not looking for trouble first thing in the morning on a Friday with environmentalists just for shits and giggles. But as Pumi and I were discussing yesterday, I got thinking about this after the burning platform. It's not a priority for South Africa to be trying to green ourselves. It's not a priority for us to try and find alternative sources of energy when we have far more pressing issues, like, for example, the fact that we have enormous, enormous pollution of our waterways in South Africa. We can't seem to dispose of our waste properly. We have much bigger problems in South Africa. We don't have adequate water resources at this point. And that is a much more pressing concern than our carbon fuel emissions or our carbon dioxide emissions from the burning of fuel. So I'm not cut up about that stuff. And frankly, Al Gore and his book are, to me, less of a Nostradamus situation and more of a, you just got it really wrong, dude. Like the COVID people who predicted at the beginning of the pandemic 2.5 years ago, oh, we're all going to die. Remember they said that there would be millions of people all over the world who'd be dead. Not really. Not really. Overwrought. Created huge anxiety, made people nervous. For what? Bullshit. So let's get our day off to the right start. 24th of June already. It's almost the end of the month of June. We've only got a little bit of that left. And it's really, this is the toughest part of winter from here until probably about a month and a half from here. Then, you know, by August, mid-August, it's warm again. It starts getting better. It takes a while, but it starts getting better. So Ben will join us later on. I've got a couple of things to ask him about. I didn't realize this. Somebody posted this on Instagram and actually took a screenshot of it. The minimum wage is R23.19 an hour, right? The petrol price is R23.85 a litre. That means that the petrol price per litre is higher than the hourly minimum wage. You know how much you have to earn if you are in the minimum wage category just to get back and forth from home to work. We already know this is a problem in South Africa, right? We know domestic workers, laborers, people who often are they live very far away from home, from work. Those people are going to be screwed royally by this increased petrol price. And let me remind you again, the petrol price, and I'm not going to spend Friday mornings moaning. It's my half hour to kind of get a whole lot of things off the plate that we haven't yet got to eating. Let me remind you that the reason the petrol price has gone sky high is, yes, Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine, but everywhere else in the world, instead of continuing to look after their energy problems, they have been in the luxurious position where they've decided they'd listen to Greta Thunberg rather than their own energy demands. And it's so hilarious and ironic to me also came up in yesterday's Burning Platform. Germany, one of the countries that was leading at COP26, you know, the guy from COP26 was here in South Africa yesterday. They were the ones who were saying, oh, no, we need to green our energy. Yeah, we need to make sure that we have less carbon emissions. We are going to use wind and solar. And now they're going back to coal-fired power stations like Kusile and Medupi. What's interesting is they just switch them back on again, and it just starts working. Not like us, where we have to spend 10 years building a power station, and then it costs four times the money, or probably more than that now, and delivers half the power that we expected. Tell me how that works. Anyway, I mean, I just think it's interesting that all of this fuel, this oil and gas stuff, is partly Russia, but it's also very bad policymaking by people in Western governments. I mean, America, you know, again, I have to say, for anyone who's paying more at the petrol pump in America, you can thank Joe Biden fairly and squarely for that, because he closed down that pipeline, which would have brought oil from Canada and Alaska into America. He and also from Texas north, a major, major pipeline. They shut it down, also killing lots and lots of jobs, which has done great things for the American economy. Obviously, the dollar continues to be under huge pressure because of stupid decisions like this. Then they've shut down about 5 or 6 refineries in America over the last year and a half. Just the last year and a half. Now, those refineries take crude oil and turn it into petrol and various other petroleum products. Without the refineries, you have to rely on overseas countries to do it, which means you transport it there and transport it back after it's been refined. Not the most sensible way of doing these things. And if you bring it in directly and it's already refined, it just costs more. So someone needs to sit down with these idiots in Western governments who are making policy at the moment and say to them, do you actually know how pluses and minuses work? And I've never claimed to be good at arithmetic, but I understand supply and demand, and I think most of us do. You know, we inherently have an ability to do this. So those are things that we need to talk about. I mean, Dogoza says, I filled up my tank this morning. It cost me 1,401 Rand. That is ridiculous. Crazy, right? Really, really bad. He was puzzling last night, so that's against the CrossFit religion. I don't know what you're talking about there, Vernon. I'm not sure who's CrossFitting, first of all. Okay, there's often like these internal conversations in the comments section. I just wish you guys would form a WhatsApp group for those. Basitsana says, morning, guys. Does anyone know why we sometimes wake up so damn parched? I'm thirstier than a motherfucker. Aha. That is because you either drank last night or you ate food that was very, very salty. You know, sometimes the food pulls the water right out of your cells. Well, not the food does, but your body is trying to get water to process very salty food. And it's reverse osmosis, and a lot of that happens. So what you need to do is always go to sleep. I do this with a bottle of water next to your bed or a glass of water. I prefer a bottle. You can close the lid. But a glass of water next to your bed, essential every night before you go to sleep. Absolutely de rigueur. All right. I better take the advice of that person who said that they had a cure for the sneezing and the sinus in the morning. But I'll see if I can figure that out at some point. Did you get that tall monument thing I sent you, Congo Chris? No, I did not. And Venice is sinking. Yeah, but Venice has been sinking since long before Al Gore. Venice is built in a very precarious position, full stop. Since the 1500s, buildings have gone up and down, or rather the water level has gone up and down. And you can actually see that in paintings from the Doge's Palace years and years ago. So nothing's changed in Venice. Let's not pretend that Al Gore hit on some nerve there. Chris goes on, the main problem is that rich countries are shifting the blame to poor ones, and the onus is also being shifted. Also, nuclear is the answer, but idiots keep standing in the way. Now, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, nuclear came up yesterday because we spoke to Karen Morn about her book called Nuclear, about the Russian nuclear deal that never did happen. And Karen made the very good point that this whole thing was so corrupt that it wasn't even worth discussing whether or not nuclear was the future. But it is. Nuclear is the cleanest, best way of producing the most power. You know, I don't know if anybody remembers this. This is a long time ago, but there used to be a game called SimCity, and I'm not talking about the 23 versions that came after the original, but the original SimCity allowed you to build a city, right? And this should be standard practice for anyone who wants to go into government. They should first be able to win at a game like SimCity. And I mean, whether it's local, provincial, municipal, or national government, because it teaches you some very, very basic things at an early age. And it's such a great game. It's clever. It's strategic. You have to work out budgets. You have to figure out what policies to put in place to make you more money. If you run out of money, how you can tax people, what the absolute limit is for tax, the upper limit, the lower limit. And you only work these things out by actually adjusting them slightly and figuring it all out. But I remember I played this game as I must have been in high school at least, because I don't really think it had been invented before then. And we never had a computer at home until, I was probably 18 when we first got a computer at home. So it must have been around then. Anyway, I remember working out this game. And one of the things that they taught us earlier on in the game is that you can build wind, you can build solar. I mean, they were thinking about these things already then. You could put up a coal-fired power station. You could put up a gas station. The best one was a nuclear reactor. It produced the most power. It was expensive to build. But once you had that, you didn't run out of power in the city. So basic, right? And if you play the game, you lay out roads, you put in water infrastructure, you have to make sure that you put residential, industrial, and commercial property there. It's the most brilliant, brilliant game. If they only allowed people who could demonstrate over a period of a week, you know, you get a week to play the game before you get your government appointment. And then I say to you, okay, if you can't win at this game, you don't get employed by government. Sorry. I mean, it doesn't take, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to work a game out. Over a week, if you play from Monday to Friday and that's your job interview, first of all, I think we'd get really interesting candidates, because it doesn't matter who you know or what, you know, party you belong to or anything else. That would get all of that shit out of the way, first of all. Second of all, it would demonstrate that you have some idea of how to manage money. Third of all, how to manage a city. Fourth of all, that you could build things, that you actually understand how infrastructure works. Because we have lots and lots of people in the world today who can, they talk a good game. They've got ideas. They've been trained in law and philosophy and political science, and they can talk, but they can't build. And we need builders, especially in a country like South Africa. So I think that would be the best way to play this game, and to put this game to good use. Dogoza says it doesn't make sense. We don't get nuclear because we don't trust Zuma. Now we don't have nuclear, but we have load shedding. We're stuck. We should have just paid Putin. Well, we could have also done our nuclear through better people than Putin. It didn't have to go through the Russians, you know. We used to have nuclear ourselves once. But what did we do? We mothballed all of it. We fired the best scientists. And we decided we were just going to cash out. I mean, don't build nuclear weapons, but keep nuclear power going? Seems like an obvious thing to me. Alas. Anyway, City Skylines is the best current city builder by far. If you liked SimCity, you'll love City Skylines. Well, now you're talking about something. I'm not a gamer, but I would love, love, love to play one of those games again. In fact, I think I'm going to do it. Pebblebed, nuclear is 100% viable for South Africa. Tracy says, also the layout of a city. You shouldn't have a nuclear power plant right next to an elementary school. Yeah, it's not the Simpsons. Small modular reactors. Absolutely. I went on a tour with the guys who were putting together the Pebblebed modular reactor. In fact, I've got a little one of the pebbles here somewhere in my house. Don't worry, there's no nuclear material in it. But it's a little graphite ball, effectively. And these would have been put out on a bed. And together, they would have generated enough heat to warm water. The water would have boiled because of the heat of these pebbles. That would have produced enough steam to have powered a very small reactor. And this very small reactor, small as it may have been, would have probably done as much good as, you know, a 7-hectare wind farm. So again, we just have our heads up our asses because politicians have made the decisions instead of us smart people. And yes, Kallis says, we have nuclear at Kuberg, 1,030 megawatts. Well, listen, I've heard some quite scary rumors about what's going on at Kuberg and whether or not it's working properly and what they're doing to keep it going. And I don't know the facts, so I'm not going to start an alarm. But I really think we need some very smart people to get in there and to check things out at Kuberg ASAP. Because this is the problem with nuclear, is if you put it in the hands of morons, they're bound to cause huge and devastating problems. Watch again. Watch that brilliant movie, TV series, Chernobyl. What they lay out, more than the actual nuclear accident, which is horrifying, and the people who die of all the terrible diseases that come in the immediate aftermath and in the long tail of what happened at Chernobyl. The other scary thing is that you see how stupid socialist government in Russia was. And you realize how these communists just could not manage a piss up in a brewery. And they're so, it's so built in, it's so baked into the cake when you're a leftist or a communist or a socialist to lie. That's such a part of the essential ingredients of your utopian dream. You are forced to lie. You're forced to force other people to lie. Nobody believes anybody. It's a world of suspicion. Terrible, terrible environment for anybody who's just trying to ascertain whether something is good, bad, or ugly. And just the most horrific show. So again, they have to play SimCity. They have to watch Chernobyl. And then maybe we'll consider putting them in charge of things. Vernon says, we should vote with the prerequisite that whoever runs the government has to take questions from journalists as a standard. We don't currently have a working democracy. Well, you could say that about a lot of things. I don't know, you know, a lot of our journalists are so shit. So what would be the point? Have you seen some of the press conferences that I held in South Africa? It's not like, you know, the White House press corps. It's not like we're dealing with the best of the best when it comes to journos either. And I stand up for journalists, but really, we've got a lot that are just absolutely terrible. Another great documentary to watch, according to Tracy, is 3 Mile Island. Oh, yeah. It's about the nuclear semi-disaster that happened on the East Coast in New Jersey, actually, of the U.S. Excellent docu, real events. That was before Chernobyl. Yes, and unfortunately, you see, when people think of nuclear, they don't think about all the power stations that are working all over the world that are producing plenty of clean, decent, reliable energy from nuclear power plants. They think about the 3 or 4 disasters that have happened. Fukushima, they think about Chernobyl, they think about 3 Mile Island, and they go, oh, we've got to stay away from nuclear. But again, we've become so risk-averse, which is why you hear morons all over the world, and you heard a lot of it over the last 2.5 years, talking about safe. I don't feel safe. I want more safety from my government. These people have never read a history book. They don't know what progress looks like. Without a bit of risk, you don't get any rewards. Civilization isn't safe. Do you think that you would be flying in planes from one city to another if the Wright brothers had prioritized safety when they were inventing the Kitty Hawk? Do you think that the internal combustion engine, which was an enormously dangerous thing, do you think even the steam locomotive, the first trains, do you know how many people died making all those things happen? If safety was their priority, they would never have been invented. We would be sitting in a world where nothing had been invented if safety was our biggest priority. Oh no, safety comes much further down the line. Safety is a first world problem, and it is something that the first world feels entitled to. All over the human story over thousands of years, safety has been right at the back of the queue. And the people who prioritized safety 100, 200, 500 years ago died horribly because nobody took them seriously. Oh, don't do that. It's not safe. Or I don't feel safe. Oh, well, here come those marauding Mongols across the plains of Siberia. They're going to prioritize safety now. They're going to put down their big swords. They're going to stop chopping off people's heads. They're going to stop dashing children's brains across the walls of the village that they've just occupied. Safety is not a human priority. It never has been. And it's become a priority of a soft civilization, a civilization where everything is already working for us. It's not a priority in a country where you don't have the things that make civilization work yet. There are lots of those countries in the world. I beg to differ with the I don't feel safe crowd. So, you know, again, you're going to build a nuclear power station. There may be some problems. They're very rare. They're far more rare than the problems you would have with any other kind of situation. But you have to have the right people in there, which means you can't have cadre deployment and politicians and diversity and inclusion people at the nuclear power plant. Because the diversity and inclusion people, they say, well, you know, I really think we should have more wheelchair employees and more people over the age of 80 running this nuclear power plant. That's where you end up with problems. Russia, right? Anyway, I mean, why are we complaining? We shouldn't worry. Joe Biden assures us that he has the most inclusive and diverse White House ever, even more than Barack Obama. You know, he has a gay black woman as a press secretary. She's useless, but she's a gay black woman. So everything will be fine. This is the kind of stuff that gets us into trouble. I hate to say it because people don't like to hear it. Anyway, they feel shit scared when power runs out and they're guarding their life in the dark, Sean says. In PAPS, like, you know, I don't know what that means, but he does say, ha, 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 safe. So I think he gets the basic idea. Gee, have you seen what's happening in Beaufort West? No red tape. Go, Gayton. Yeah, I saw Gayton McKenzie 2 months ago. I had a quick chat to him, and he's meant to be coming on the show at some point on the Burning Platform. He is building solar, and he's also building toilets in the Karoo municipalities, where he's in charge, where the Patriotic Alliance have come into power. And he seems to be doing a very, very good job there. He's also harnessed a lot of private capital to do this, which I absolutely am convinced is essential, because there just isn't enough money. If we don't ask private business to help lend a hand where we, you know, need to build infrastructure. Also, there'll be oversight of that money if private businesses are involved. And maybe we'll get more done. So, yes, I have seen what Gayton McKenzie's doing there. It's terrific. And really, we've got to talk to him, because that's what we need. It's people like him. So Congo Chris bringing up this well-known trope. Tough men make easy times. Easy times make soft men. Soft men make difficult times. Difficult times make strong men. It's that circle. And yes, ladies, that is a very male-focused thing to look at. But really, if men don't provide a safe world, and I say safe this time with a different meaning, a secure world, then there is no place for women to take leadership roles. I know that's going to be controversial too. But if women are expected to run things, they need to run things in a world where men have fought for it to be safe, because otherwise women will be victims again of the horrible men, the weak men, the men who are, you know, abusers. We want to hear from you in the comments. Let us know what's going on. Take your thoughts on there. And yes, Ben is coming. He's coming. And Tokozo wants to know. He joins us at 6:30 on a Friday. So for the first half hour, you've got me. Sorry about that, if that's not what you were hoping for. But yes, Ben will join us probably in the next 4 or 5 minutes. So stick around. That's coming right at you. We also have a weekend ahead of us. So if you've got any cool plans for the weekend, tell us what those are. I want to hear what those are. All right. A couple of headlines that I do want to look at before we continue with any of these other discussions. Let's just have a look at what's going on in the news. And there is actually quite a lot of news. Not as much as, you know, probably some people would like. And by that, I mean the coronavirus people who are upset. There are a group of people, believe it or not, who are upset that the government has dropped the regulations. They're genuinely upset. So we'll talk about this with Ben, but full capacity crowds at South African stadiums are allowed once more. The question is, will they have full capacity crowds? And I've got a controversial point of view about that, which we'll get to just now. Tiger Brands closure of its canning factory. This is not good news. Puts 90 tons of peaches and apricots and pears at risk. Now, I mean, apart from the job losses that we're looking at there, masses of fruit as well as 90 tons of peaches, apricots, and pears in the Western Cape are at risk and will have nowhere to go following Tiger Brands' decision to close its Langeberg and Ashton canning factory. Between 70 and 90 tons of fruit spread across 2,250 hectares of canning orchards will be placed in jeopardy with limited alternative destinations available. Jacques Jordan, who is the CEO of the Canning Food Producers of South Africa Association, told the Business Insider that it associated financial losses no less than 1 billion rand with this decision. So Tiger Brands decided to close their canning factory 2 years ago. At the time, the company said it planned to focus on manufacturing and distributing everyday branded food and beverages, which is better aligned with its portfolio. If you read between the lines, what they're really saying is probably the margins are just not big enough. So why would they want to run a canning factory if it's expensive and it doesn't deliver the kind of profits that they want, right? Anyway, that plant has been running for over 70 years. It is the largest and one of only two in the country. I do not understand why a country like ours, where we've got so many people who don't have jobs, and we have very little manufacturing going on, that we aren't... This is where policymakers could really do something. They've decided to shut this down. Now, I mean, I don't know what the number of jobs are that is going to go, but apparently it also has to do with an oversupply of peaches, believe it or not. Tins of peaches. So I don't know who's buying the peaches, but they're making too many of them is apparently the thing. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. That's one of the things that I picked up in the news this morning. I know that doesn't sound like a big news story, but you think about the associated damage to the economy when one of your two big canning factories, the only two in the country, shut down. And we are dealing with a problem in the world of food supply at the moment. So this is interesting. Cabinet has greenlighted a draft strategy to formalize South Africa's 9.1 billion rand game meat sector. So Cabinet has decided to approve the publication of a draft strategy to transform the game market. Game meat is predominantly an informal industry that operates in a fragmented manner. The proposed strategy produces an implementation plan that will formalize and strengthen the sector as both a provider of food security and economic growth sector that can help create jobs. This is good news, I think. Although, depends on who's running it, right? Because a good idea in the hands of a moron will lead to trouble. So, according to the presentation, South Africa accounted for 86% of all regional game meat exports, valued at $12 million in 2019. It was also ranked 28th out of 98 countries globally in terms of exports of game meat. So they could be sorting this out. They could be making it worse. Who knows? And then I'm sure you saw the story. Can't get enough of this, and neither can the news media. The first case of monkeypox has reached South Africa's shores. Oh, the people who love panicking are panicking now. Imagine all those people who are like worried about, I don't feel safe. Those people are shitting in their pants over monkeypox. Yes. So here's a story from ENCA yesterday.
Dr. Joe Paisler today confirming that a case of monkeypox has been detected in the country. Monkeypox is a virus transmitted to humans from animals. There's been an outbreak of the virus in various countries around the world. South Africa's monkeypox patient zero is a 30-year-old man from Johannesburg in Gauteng.
Oh. Late yesterday, I received a report from the National Health Laboratory Service, indicating that they have.
This is the minister, by the way.
Through a laboratory test, the first case of monkeypox in South Africa. The patient is a 30-year-old male from Johannesburg who has no travel history, meaning that it cannot be attributed to the disease having been acquired elsewhere.
So we baked this one at home. Aren't you excited? There's monkeypox. This is so great. And you know that the people who love the masks and the people who love the sanitizer and the people who love being told what to do, the safe people, those people are going to be excited beyond belief, even though they can't admit it, about monkeypox, because it means they can't wait for more rules to come into play. It's not. I put up a thing on my Instagram yesterday, which, I mean, you could disagree or agree with me on this, but let me read it to you, because this is the gist of it. If you're sad that they stopped the mask mandate and the sanitizing and the rules about gatherings and all of that stuff, let me remind you, you can continue to wear your mask, sanitize, limit the gatherings that you go to. You don't have to stop doing that stuff. It's voluntary now. But you don't need government to force you to do it. And you don't need government to prevent other people from doing it. You can do whatever you like. I said there that there are masochists and there are people with Stockholm syndrome who behave like slaves, even though slavery was abolished in the 1800s. The fact that you might be one of those people who insists that everyone else live according to your dystopian view of the world is all the proof that we need that you should never be put in charge of anything ever again. And that's true, right? Again, monkeypox may or may not be a big problem that we have to deal with. I would prefer to make my own decisions, having seen how badly all of the decisions that everybody we trusted, the experts, the politicians, what bad decisions they made. Right? Let's trust them again. Not going to happen. I don't know if you saw this really horrible story about, I think it's the KZN transport MEC who was killed in an accident because of potholes on a rural road in KZN. People went ballistic on social media. Again, I'm quoting now from hearsay, so don't take this as verbatim, but it would appear to me that there's very little sympathy in this case for this politician who lost her life because of a pothole-riddled road. And you can, some of our roads are so bad that you could write your car off, you could do yourself and other people severe damage, and yes, you could die. It's no surprise to me that there are places where you cannot drive on the roads anymore safely. I think it's sad and unfortunate that this person had to lose their life, as it would be for anyone to lose their life. But it seems to me on social media, there's no sympathy at all. People are like, yeah, well, you made these roads shit, so you kind of deserved this, which is an awful, awful way for people to respond. But it is how they're responding. And you can't tell people how to respond. They just do. So that's worth thinking about. Anyway, a lot of people talking about monkeypox now. I honestly don't care. I mean, you know, Yonda says, that is so stupid what that idiot said, that minister, Joe Patla. Just because you didn't travel doesn't mean you didn't come into contact with someone who did travel. Well, yes. Nobody knows, right? I mean, this person could have been, they could have walked past someone, brushed against them, and have picked up some disease. This is what happens to people. This is how diseases spread. I love the fact that in 2022, we have to review all of, like, plague history. There's already enough information about this stuff. Let's stop being stupid. Lots of comments about monkeypox. The only thing that some of the potholes in South Africa needs, the only thing is that some of the potholes in South Africa need helicopters to fill them. Yeah, that's probably true, Derek. A good point. Geez, there's a road that goes out towards the Hartbeespoort Dam, and I drove out there on Sunday. I've got an old family farm there, and we don't own it anymore, but it's there, and there's an old family graveyard on it that I just have to go and check on occasionally with the parents, because no one else is going to maintain it, right? So you have to look after these things. And on the road there, I was thinking about maintenance, because this is what we're going to go and do at the graveyard. And then we saw this road that you have to take to get there is just an absolute disaster. It marries back into this story about nuclear, by the way, because it's the road that goes right past and would have been the main entrance to the Pelindaba reactor and all of those other once top secret, once top line institutions, buildings, infrastructure. That place used to be probably one of the most difficult places to get into, one of the most well-maintained places. The fact that the road outside of it is crumbling to pieces, and I think about this MEC, it all kind of marries into the story around, if you don't look after things, they go backwards. What was Chinua Achebe? Things fall apart, right? And again, I mean, if you've never read that book, it's an award-winning book by a Nigerian author. Just the most brilliant, brilliant analysis of how many things do not stay in place, do not maintain their resilience, do not maintain their effectiveness, do not keep working unless you work very hard at making sure that the pieces stay together. Those things don't just happen, I'm afraid. Anyway, lots of really interesting stuff going on. Onkopotse says, no potholes in Cape Town. Ooh, now careful, Onkopotse, because you say that and people will say, ah, but you're just working for the DA, aren't you? Yeah. We do need new roads nationwide, says Keenan, but do you know what will happen, right? We'll all be charged more money for that, even though it should have been part of what was done over the last, I don't know, 25 years? Did we really think that the roads would just stay as they were? The lifespan of a pothole in Cape Town, and especially Somerset West, isn't very long. Once you've been in Joburg and other parts, you really appreciate the state of the roads here. Hmm. Okay, so Cape Town is winning at potholes. I've been to the reactor at Pelindaba, says Boiled Prawn Shack. It was still working in 2004. Not too sure what's happening there now. I went out and checked it in 2014, and they're currently using that reactor for colouring gemstones, a little bit of research. They do some work with the universities. But really, we should be putting that thing to better use. And again, if we have qualified and capable people to run it, it should be a source of great national pride, of research and development, and of national utility, frankly. Whether it's not designed, that reactor is not designed to generate electricity, but it could be, on this continent, one of very few nuclear resources for science and technology, which, you know, this is the stuff that puts certain countries at the forefront of innovation. What are we doing? We're coloring topaz gemstones in our reactor. Anyway, I mean, it's better than nothing, I suppose. Yonder says, I'd have to say that in Joburg and Durban and East London, potholes are a real thing. And in Cape Town, we hardly see much except in areas that are managed by other parties who fix it. Cape Town wins at all province roads. I've lost loads of tires in every province. Fucking potholes. Yeah. Sunmarie says, what's the Nigerian author's name again? Chinua Achebe. A-C-H-E-B-E. Look him up. Cape Town is a paradise. I ride a bike. Okay, all right, stop. Thank you. Enough of the boasting about Cape Town, if you don't mind. I would quite like you to stop telling us how great Cape Town is. It's making me feel a bit sick. I think I have the monkeypox. One other last headline I want to throw in here. This is so gross. A man contracted a new antibiotic-resistant super gonorrhea strain after having sex on holiday. An Austrian man caught a new strain of gonorrhea that is resistant to common treatments. He had unprotected sex with a sex worker in Cambodia, according to scientists. If such strains keep spreading, many gonorrhea cases might become untreatable, they said. Dun, dun, dun. An Austrian man who had sex abroad caught a new strain of so-called super gonorrhea that is resistant to most antibiotics commonly used to treat the infection. Super gonorrhea? Jesus. The worry they've got here is that if multi-drug-resistant strains of gonorrhea keep spreading, the STD might become untreatable, according to the authors of a case report that was published on Thursday in the medical journal Eurosurveillance. Most cases of gonorrhea don't produce symptoms, but can still cause serious complications such as infertility if it's not possible to treat the infection. So some serious problems that you could develop if you sleep with Cambodian sex workers. Just saying, not necessarily the best way to conduct yourself. All right, a lot of people talking about how the roads would be better if we had a better train system. Now heavy trucks do all the transporting. That's also true. I mean, a lot of these trucks are a big, big problem, and that's why the roads are, devastated and keep deteriorating at the rate that they are. Imagine the burn on the super gonorrhea pee, says Stevie. Oh, God. Thank God, I've never had an STD, and I know that that's courting disaster because everybody eventually gets, like, simplex herpes or whatever it is. But if I did and it burnt when I peed, oh, man. Mm-mm. I wouldn't know what to do with that. Anyway, isn't gonorrhea a symptom of too much bum sex? I'm not sure. As far as I understand, gonorrhea is something that you can get from conventional penile and vaginal sex. I'm not sure. We'll need to ask somebody. Oh, wow. Look at this. Slice 19 says they found one of the biggest helium deposits in the world near Velkom. They're busy building a factory at the site now. You should see the old pothole-ridden road to get there. Wow. Okay. Simpiwe, will you just check on Ben? I see he's trying to get onto the stream here, but there's nothing there. Just see if you can get him on. Oh, no, I've gone off. Let's see if we can reconnect here. All right. Yeah, let's just see. Simpiwe, if you can just check with Ben where he is. I don't know what's going on with the internet there. I was just disconnected as well. See if we can get him on. Durban CBD has really deteriorated. However, the North Coast infrastructure is really good. It's like two different worlds. Well, I suppose where the money is. Play on words, Gareth. Gonorrhea. Yes, I get you. Thank you. I just honestly thought you were asking a serious question because I can never tell with people in the comment sections. You guys are all insane. So there are lots of questions here coming up about that. I'm sorry I had to start your morning with potholes and gonorrhea and nuclear power, but hey, you've got to start the day somehow. These are not the worst things to talk about. They're all interesting. Here's an interesting one. This is why you should not let Joseph Fritzl out of jail. The dirty Austrian probably gave her the disease. Maybe, hey? Might not have been the Cambodian sex worker. It might have been the Austrian. Austrians, they don't have a great track record for this kind of thing. Chris Rea has joined Dire Straits. Now they're called Diarrhea. God, all right. Propaganda's on fire this morning. I mean, with a name like Propaganda, what do you expect? Okay, so apparently also some people talking about PE and how shit that is at the moment. Well, they've got water, serious water problems in PE right now. They've passed day zero, and it apparently is just not a great situation. So that rain that we got here in Joburg last night, I hope PE got a little bit of that too. And if they didn't, that there is some on the way in the next while. By the way, I don't know if you've been watching Bitcoin, $21,000 this morning. Not great, but edging slightly up of where it was. I mean, who would have said it would hit $20,000 back in the glory days when we were at $60,000? Really and truly, it's so disappointing. I don't know what anybody else is doing, but you just got to hold on to it, right? If you bought some, even if it's just a little bit, the last thing you want to do is try and sell now, because you'll make such a loss. Pretty much, if you bought anywhere in the last 6 months, you would be in disaster territory now. In fact, the last 2 or 3 years, even, I think that's the lowest it's dropped to in a long, long time. So yeah, I think that's something really, really interesting about the whole Bitcoin thing. A lot of people climbing back in is what people are saying. And Dogozo is saying it too. Sounds like a good time to get into some Bitcoin. Well, let's see. I don't know what's going on with Ben. He's trying to join the stream, but it's just not working. Simpiwe, again, I don't know if there's something wrong on my side or if it's on Ben's side, but it's now like 6:45, and I think he's been trying for about 10 minutes to get in. All right, a few of the comments. I just want to play you this quickly, or rather show you this. I had no idea about this. Perhaps you did. These are some of the LGBTQIA plus flags, all right? So the only one that I can honestly say I knew was a LGBTQIA plus flag was the one in the top left, the gay flag, which is a rainbow. I always knew the rainbow flag was the gay flag. Apparently, bisexuals have this pink, purple, violet combination. I'm not going to go through all of them, but there are all kinds of different flags here. Gender fluid, gender queer, transgender, non-binary, intersexual, bear. I don't know what that means. Autosexual, trigender. I mean, you literally, these things have just been made up like yesterday. But the interesting one is near the bottom left there, the lesbian flag. Now, I had no idea the lesbian flag was a battle axe. This is supposedly the lesbian flag. It's purple. It's got an upside down, or rather a V-shape black piece in it. And then on that is a white battle axe with a double blade. Now, I didn't know that was the lesbian flag, did you? And if you did know this, why didn't you tell us long ago? I don't know if lesbians are courting disaster here by asking for, you know, a battle axe on their flag. Like, you know, you old battle axe used to be a pretty horrible insult that you would level at somebody. So I'm not sure what that means, whether or not that's always been their symbol. But there it is. Look at that. Read 'em and weep. The flag that you should have if you're a lesbian is this, the battle axe. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Gareth. Sorry, man.
What happened?
Fucking technology. Apologize.
What happened?
No, just my laptop's not interested in being on the show. I'm like backstage, but no one can see me. Ghost mode.
Very annoying. Anyway.
Sorry.
Did you know that the lesbian flag was a battle axe?
Well, I mean, it should be, really. I'm a lot more alarmed that you know what the bear is. We all know what the bear is.
But isn't that just a... like a gay man, a big burly gay man?
Yes.
Do they have their own flag? Yes. Why do they have a flag for that? That's a sexual preference or a fetish, isn't it? It's not an identity. Or is it an identity?
It's not a fetish. It's completely an identity. You've got to groom yourself, you've got to be hairy, you've got to be big.
Didn't we send Michael Flax to some event where like a whole bunch of bears were and he met them and they told
him. he was meant to go to Bear Fest, and then he pushed it down the last minute. He's like, no, I can't go there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that would have changed his life for the better.
Bear Fest, that's right. So that's now an identity that needs its own flag. That's like a, you know, like if you're Filipino, then you get your Philippines flag because you're from the Philippines. If you're South African, you get the South African flag. Now you need a flag if you're a bear. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's only fair, right?
Okay.
I mean, if we're gonna take one thing out of today, let it be that I'm all for bear rights.
Bear rights. Just when you, if you can, just hold your microphone away from the zip of your top there, because it keeps rubbing against it, making a horrible noise. There we go. That's a bit better.
Sorry, man. See, because I don't like using my phone because I don't have headphones that Bluetooth onto my phone. But sorry.
That's looking well.
That's terribly boring. How's your day otherwise?
My day's great. I started off at 5 a.m., as I always do, and things are looking good. I've got a nice quiet weekend ahead of me, so we'll see how it goes. I'm not looking at leaving the house. It's been bloody freezing this week. So wherever possible, stay warm.
Yeah.
I did want to talk about this with you. So Ben and I had a brief conversation on WhatsApp during the week about this thing that happened at the Stormers game. They got a bunch of dancers. In fact,
you still went over this.
This is really annoying me because I'm not a rugby fan. I have no say in this. I don't know what's been happening on the rugby field for, I don't know, the last 10 years. I haven't been paying attention. I know it was a Stormers game. I know it was fairly well attended. I know that the Stormers are a good rugby team. But they had these guys come onto the field in Stormers rugby uniforms. So I thought it was the players because someone sent me a clip, right? I don't watch the game. And what they have is they have this pom-pom girl, or whatever you call it, cheerleader, and she starts the dance, and then suddenly all the supposedly Stormers rugby players, but they're actually professional dancers, start dancing like they're on a parade or something, or like they're at Babylon on a Saturday night, right? I mean, is this what happens at these games now? Is this the kind of entertainment that that is put on at the rugby? No, because what? The rugby's not enough? What is this? Can I play the clip and If you're watching...
You love this so much.
But it's so embarrassing. It's so shit, Ben. It's really shit. I don't love it. I hate this. I can't understand why rugby's doing this. I thought rugby was enough entertainment on its own for people who liked rugby. You know, the crowd who liked the dancing and the crowd who liked the rugby are very different crowds, or am I wrong?
No, Gareth, you must understand that sport is entertainment, right?
They have to do
things that every other live thing does.
Right.
And because of what TikTok has done for making people dance for China, dancing is just ubiquitous now with going outside.
Well, here it is. So this is the clip that was sent to me on WhatsApp. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Is this what rugby is like? I thought these were the players, all right? So understand, I'd never seen any of this. And then suddenly I'm watching what I suppose are rugby players because it looks like them. They're wearing the uniforms with numbers on the back and everything. I'm like, what is that? They've been spending time choreographing this dance rather than practicing rugby. Anyway, here it is. Look. Have a look.
Wow, you can really dance. Wow, you can really dance. He went. They said we've both been dancing all this time. What a coincidence.
And it's like, it's also, they're doing real stripper moves here. It's not like a, you know. It's like choreographed dancing. I mean, some of these moves Beyonce wouldn't be pulling. Yeah, I don't, let's not keep it going. I really don't understand that at all. Maybe I'm just very old-fashioned and I haven't been in the loop for a long time, and I get that TikTok has changed everything. But to me, that's just, that stuff's, it's weird that it would be at a rugby match. You know? I don't get it. I really don't understand it at all.
You ever see a number six, if you ever see a number six moving like that, firstly, he's too small. He's far too rhythmic. Because if you were a number six, you're an open side flanker and you are a burly, bruised man. But yeah, I will agree with you on a certain degree. I think there should be something sacred about a sporting uniform slash kit, and that right should be given to the players only. When you get people dancing in, like, can you imagine that for the Bok match next weekend, if they're going to pull that shit, when people who dedicate their entire lives to wear a Bok jersey on the field of play,
yeah, well,
are now twerking and gyrating pelvic areas, that'll be bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that there was some kind of there's some kind of honor in wearing a uniform of any kind. It means you've attained. You've earned that uniform.
Well, it's basically so what they're doing is like, is that stolen valor. You remember that big thing in America when it was cool to be like a soldier or a fireman,
right?
And guys were literally dressing up just to get the trim at the bars. They'd pull in there, thank you for your service.
Well, I mean, here's Ntogoza says, does that not have anything to do with Pride Month? That's what I was thinking. You know, no disrespect. No disrespect at all.
That's just.
Jesse says, what the fuck was that? Correct. What a circus. They were throwing out bread as well, were they? Corona's Boring says. Yeah, well, that's where, as Ben says, the entertainment element of this comes in. I don't know.
It has to be. But like, Gareth, the important thing is, look, feminizing of men is still a top priority. Yeah, I get that. But the important thing is that we can now go back to stadiums, and the stadiums can be full. You don't have to have any of that stupid, where's your pass stuff. I know there was another name to it, but essentially that was the function government were doing. So you can actually, as a civilian, Gareth, next weekend, as a civilian, I'm going to board the train.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and walk the streets of Pretoria and go into Loftus, a place where many men have got drunk before.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stand in the stands with my fellow South Africans, all 50,000 of us.
Are you going to be...
Are we just going to cheer and shout for sport?
Are you going to be on the West Pavilion? Because that's where the real action goes down, Ben.
Well, that's where action goes down. I mean, look, I'm a bit old for that.
All right, well...
Only too much fun at one stage, Gareth. Let's not overdo it.
Sponiso says, and he's quite right to criticize me here. That's why I brought this up. Why are you so bothered? You don't like rugby anyway. Yeah, that's true. But he goes on to say, there is nothing sacred about gym gear. Fat guys in Centurion wear it all the time. That's true. I mean, Ben, if we're going to criticize people for twerking and doing the rest of it in like the rugby uniform, then really we should criticize ordinary fat South Africans who wear them on a Friday for what was that sport thing that we did for a couple of years where we'd all wear our sports kit on a Friday? Remember that?
Yeah, but I mean, that's just the shirts. That's just the shirt. You're not putting the fucking shorts and socks on and the boots and getting onto the field. It's a bit different.
Yeah.
So there's a saying that it comes from cricket. It's called full kit wanker. And what guys used to do is sometimes they would actually dress up in full whites to go watch test crickets. And some of them, after a few beers, would then try to take the field. And then that's where the term full kit wanker came from. So it's one thing wearing just the jersey. But if you're going to full kit wanker it, you're crossing boundaries. All right. And that's why the term is there as a deterrent to people.
Hey, listen, as I said, it's not really any of my business. I didn't understand it when I saw it on my phone. I was like, is this for real? Sebastian says, I don't watch rugby, but these guys dancing are funny. Gareth is a grumpy fuck. Okay, you may have a point.
Oh, Sebastian, you should have heard it. Sebastian, you should have heard when this story first came out from his lips to my unneeded ears. He was irate. He couldn't believe this. What we just got now on air was the sanitized casual version.
You know, because I get enthusiastic about something doesn't mean it's I've been fixating on it for a whole fucking week. Someone sent me this clip and I was like, what has happened to rugby?
Yes.
Because I'm not paying attention every day, right? I'm like,
you fixated for about 48 hours and then you unleashed on me.
Oh, please. Please.
I've seen you have more mild rants about the ANC, COVID, and stupidity than you have about the Stormers male dancers.
Well, no, that's not true. I've been bitching and moaning about masks all of this week, and even though they've now got rid of them, there are still people who are irritating me about that. And now, of course, you know, the news outlets are all talking about monkeypox, so we're not going to go down that street. But I get upset about things.
Arpoxer.
What are they called? Arpoxa.
Yeah, it's fine. But like, so yesterday I made a point listening to radio because I wanted to hear what like the general sentiments around this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And all these cocksucking fucking presenters, I'm sorry my language is so coarse there, but you know, these are the people that were like team COVID for like 2 years because obviously they were getting paid.
Yeah.
And now suddenly they're on this sort of like cardboard high horse, like, yeah, but the mask, that should have been done a long time ago. Shut your whore mouth. You were the first person to talk about boosters. You're the first person to be like, why can't we all just get vaxxed already?
Boosters.
And now they reckon like, oh, yeah, you know, governments, you know, they just dragged their heels on this, didn't they? Like, shut your mouth.
Yeah.
But it was quite funny because obviously there's now like a gap in the news. There's a gap in hysteria. And on Jacaranda yesterday, because I like listening to Afrikaans.
You listen to Jacaranda,
I do. I always listen to it because I just like hearing Afrikaans. It's very weird. Like, because I can semi-understand it, so I don't understand enough to be bored, but I understand enough to know what's going on. That's the key to listening to radio. Don't ever listen to it in your mother tongue. And there was a big story about Arpoxa, which is just, like, because Afrikaans, obviously, is his own language. So monkeypox, Arpoxa.
Yes, good.
And then, so they played that, and then they played this like really awkward soundbite of that health minister basically telling people not to be prejudiced against men who have sex with men, because that's not actually how you get the Arpoxa. And it was just like the funniest 2 minutes of radio, like PC-ness and Afrikaans-ness rolled into one, and bum sex.
It's hilarious. Great. Oh my god. This is what Arpoxa is, huh? Arpoxa, what a name. Jesus. All right. Well, it's 7 o'clock now, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment or two. CliffCentral.com, The Gareth Cliff Show. It is Friday morning. Hope your day's off to an awesome start. We'll see you in a second. CliffCentral.com.